I would like to continue yesterday's talk. Yesterday, I mentioned about the light. First, the light appears as gray color, which is preliminary nimitta. Nimitta means sign of concentration. And as concentration develops, the color will change to white, like cotton wool, like cloud. And usually, when the light just appears, it is not stable. It comes, then within few seconds, goes away. Then comes again, then goes away. So, you should not pay attention to the light, because it will never last for the beginner when it first appears. Whether you look at it or not, it will go away. Why? Because your concentration on the breath is not strong yet. Therefore, the light does not last long. So you continue concentrate on your breath again, then the light will last longer, let's say 5 minutes. And yet, you should not pay attention to the light. But when you first experience the light, because of excitement, and because of curiosity, you want to see the light. And the light say, goodbye, I'm going. Okay. So, no matter how I tell the yogis, most people will get frightened when the light first appears, because they don't have experience of it. Then because you get frightened, most of the time the light will disappear, unless your concentration is very strong. Only then the light will last or stable for a long time. So let the light comes and go. Don't be bothered by it. Sometimes the light can be very strong, like sunlight. It shines on your face, and you can feel the heat. Heat like real sunlight. Don't bother about this heat element. And sometimes the light can be very strong until you want to shed your tears. You will experience this. Don't bother by the light. Concentrate on your breath again. And when your concentration becomes deeper, the white color will change to brilliant like diamond, like morning stars, like sunlight. Different people experience differently. Now the question comes, when should I pay attention to the light? This is an important question. So when the light comes, what should I do? When the light first comes, ignore the light. Don't pay attention to the light, but you must be happy that you are making progress. If not, the light won't come. Okay? But don't get distracted by the light. Continue on the breath until the light becomes stable. What does it mean, stable? It does not shake, does not change form often, and it does not disappear. It's called stable. So when the light stable for 20 minutes in front of you, not far away, far away is not considered nimitta. It must close to your nose here in front. Some people experience just a spot. Some people experience as a whole light. Some people experience with shape and form. Some people experience just light without shape and form. So different people experience differently, because this nimitta is born from our perceptions. We perceive differently, therefore nimitta appear differently to different person. So since this retreat, since this silent retreat, so you cannot ask other people what your limitta looks like. But if it's not silent retreat, people used to ask another person, and they start to compare. Okay. Therefore, I let you know, different people experience differently. And when the light becomes brilliant, it is called Patibhaga Nimitta, counterpart sign. And you have to use this counterpart sign to attain jhana. So when the counterpart sign, Patibhaga Nimitta, appear in front of you, very long time, stable for at least 20 minutes, then roughly, you don't have to look at a watch. How long? How long is the time now? If you look at a watch, your concentration breaks. Roughly, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Or you think that it is very stable, never shake, and the brilliant continue to grow. Then you make the decision. Okay, now is the time for me to look at the light. Forget about the breath. I say again, if the light stable, doesn't shake, doesn't disappear, brilliant and stay for 20 minutes, around 20 minutes, then you should move your attention from the breath to the light. Is it clear? Okay. Or sometimes before you make any decision, change from the breath to the light before you make any decision. And it comes to a point that the breath and the nimitta unify together. For example, you breathe in, concentrate on the breath, and the nimitta is here. Then it comes to a point the breath and the nimitta blend together. We call unify together. So if this happens, then you should directly concentrate on the nimitta. No more breath. This point, this stage is very good. And sometimes when the nimitta comes, it appears like a magnet, like a magnet pull your mind inside the nimitta. That's very good. Let the mind go in. Don't get frightened. Many people get very frightened. I can understand why they get frightened, because it's very extraordinary experience. And they're afraid something wrong, or they're out of mind. As long as you practice with correct teacher, nothing will happen to you. Don't worry. But you have to come for interview so that I can guide you. So if this nimitta pull your mind inside, then go into it. The mind have to stay together with nimitta, only then you can enter into jhana. So if your mind go into nimitta, stay there as long as possible. But sometimes after 10 minutes, your mind and the nimitta separate again, because concentration breaks. For the first time, you are unable to go into nimitta and stay there for a long time. Not possible, because there's no mastery of jhana yet. So you may go into nimitta, stay for 10 minutes, then emerge from again. The nimitta and the breath separate again. Never mind, try concentrate on the breath again, then go into nimitta again. Again and again you try, then your mind can stay with nimitta for a duration of time. If your mind can stay in the nimitta, let's say for 1 hour, 2 hours, continuously, without any interruption, without any wandering thought in between, then this is attainment of jhana. But before you reach this state, there are 5 hindrances you have to deal with. Very often the mind will be beset by five hindrances. Number one is sensual pleasures. Number two, ill will. Sometimes when your mind gets very concentrated, then you think of your enemy. The mind is very unruly. When the mind goes to a very quiet state, suddenly the thought comes, think of something unhappy experience in the past that block your progress. So you must know how to deal with all these hindrances. Important, let go. Let go of whatever has passed. Every evening we recite, whatever passed is passed. In the present, right there. Keep your mind right there on your breath. And sloth and torpor also, one of the hindrances, sloth and torpor. I already tell you how to deal with sloth and torpor. Another way to deal with sloth and torpor is just aware of it. Before sloth and torpor overwhelm you, if your mindfulness is sharp, the moment you feel the mind want to become dull, then you know it. The moment you know it, try to look at it. Look at that dull state. When you look at that dull state, immediately it passes away. But if your mindfulness is not precise enough, not sharp enough, until you feel so sleepy, only you know you are sleepy, then this technique cannot be used. Okay, then you got to open the eyes, or you got to contemplate or see the light, or you got to pull your ears or stand up and so on. So try to train your mind to be mindfulness, to be precise, fast. The moment the sloth and drowsiness comes, you know it, then directly look at it. It will disappear. I practice this very often, and it's so so efficient. Okay, and the next hindrances is restlessness. Restlessness is very common, because only Arahant know restlessness. So restlessness happens very often to everyone. If your mind cannot settle down on the breath, even my counting, your count also, your mind is so restless, I will suggest you go back to the metta first. Temporarily leave the breath. Don't force your mind too much. Go back to the metta, make the mind soft, joyful, happy, contented, then go to the breath again. And the last one, restless and remorse. Remorse is one of the great hindrances also. So when we come to practice, somebody think of the past wrong, the wrong deed they have performed in the past. They keep on remembering the past wrong deed they have performed. And this becomes a great obstacle. So what should you do? Don't identify that wrong deed as my wrong deed. I have done wrong. Don't tell like that to yourself. Everybody make mistakes. I also make mistakes, but I never feel remorse because it's already passed. It's not my misdeed. I do not identify that wrong deed as my wrong deed. If you always think that, I have done wrong, you cannot be happy. Right? It already passed. At the present moment, we are accumulating the good karma, and this good karma will compensate what you have done wrong in the past. If you keep on accumulating the good karma, the past evil deed has no chance to ripen. So you don't have to afraid of the resultant of your past action. So let it pass. And now you keep on accumulating the good action. Then all the past it become very weak, weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker, because your good action become stronger and stronger, stronger and stronger. Therefore, the past deed has no chance to ripen. So why should you worry? Don't worry, okay? Let it go. And the last one is doubt. Last hindrance is doubt. Doubt, I think American experience doubt more often than Chinese. But Chinese talk more than American. So different national experience different type of defilements. I used to teach American, conduct a retreat organized by American. And when we say silent retreat, means silent retreat. But if I teach Chinese, if I say silent retreat, means non-silent retreat. So please be disciplined. Silent means silent. Okay. So doubt, as long as you are practicing with teacher, doubt shouldn't be the problem. Because you can consult your teacher. Your teacher can clear your doubt. So don't keep any doubt in your heart. Okay? Okay, if a person can overcome these five hindrances, then his mind will settle down on the breath. And when the mind settle down, the light appear. From the grey color change to white color, from the white color change to brilliant, and it lasts very long. Sometimes so brilliant like diamond. And let the mind go inside the light. How to let the mind go inside the light? Don't pay attention to the breath anymore, and pay attention to the light. Then your mind will unify together with the light. And stay there for as long as you can. And when you reach this state, the Buddha say, according to the sutta, this is the case when a monk quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskillful qualities. This sensuality and unskillful qualities refer to five hindrances. So when he withdraw his mind from this five hindrances, he enters and remains in the first jhana. Rupture. Now in the first jhana, we have five jhana factors. Number one is rupture. Piti, we call piti. Second is, let me read the sutta for you first. He enter and remain in the first jhana, rupture, and pleasure born from withdrawal accompanied by direct thoughts and evaluation. This direct thought is vitakka. I prefer the translation initial application of the mind. And vitakka, vichara, is sustained application of the mind. So in the first jhana, we have five jhana factors. Number one, initial application of the mind. What it means? What is this vitakka? Vitakka means placing the mind on the nimitta. Keep the mind on the nimitta. Placing the mind on the nimitta is called vitakka. Or direct the mind on the nimitta. But when you direct the mind on the nimitta, it's not enough. Because the mind will go away from the nimitta. Therefore, you need to sustain application of the mind. Sustain the mind on the nimitta. This is called sustained application of the mind, vichara. And as your mind sustain long on the nimitta, there's no wandering, no hindrances at all, then you experience rupture. How you experience the rupture? Titi. You feel very light, like no weight. You feel yourself like floating in the sky. Then you don't believe, then you open your eye and see. You are still sitting on the floor. Or sometimes you experience goose pimples. Goose pimple thrill all over the body. Or sometimes you experience an electric current go through your body. This is also a sign of joy, titi. And also the third jhana factor, the fourth jhana factor is vitaka vichara piti sukha, happiness. And the last one, ekagata, one-pointedness. One-pointedness means the unification of the mind on the nimitta. You unify all the mental factors together and stay with the nimitta. It's called one-pointedness, ekagata. So in the first jhana, we have five jhana factors. Okay, before we reach this state, there's one state very important I should not forget to tell you. We call excess concentration. Before we reach jhana concentration, we arrive at excess concentration first. What is the difference between excess concentration and jhana concentration? Excess concentration, the five jhana factors are not stable yet. Not stable yet. So once a while, the mind will fall into pavanga state. Pavanga means life continuum state. I give you an example. Let's say you concentrate on your breath. Mindfully breathe in or concentrate on your nimitta or breath. Nimitta. Then, in a split of second, you lost the mindfulness. You are not aware of the breath or you are not aware of your nimitta. But the mind is sustained by concentration. And at the time, you don't know anything. You just feel peaceful. You feel peaceful only after you reflect. At that moment, you don't know anything. But after, when your awareness, your mindfulness comes back, then you reflect what is happening, what is happening just now. Oh, you feel so peaceful, but don't know anything. This shows that your mind has fallen into pavanga state. This happens to those who have concentration, but lacking mindfulness. And many people, when they experience this state, they cannot understand, even though they themselves are meditation teacher. They cannot understand what is this state. I remember when, I think 10 years ago, I came to Massachusetts, one of the teachers there discussed with me about this experience. He cannot understand what is this experience. I say it's just the mind falling into bhavanga state. And because when the mind falls into bhavanga state, it's so peaceful and you do not know anything. Some people misunderstand this is the peace of nibbana, which I would like to tell you far away from it. So if you experience this state, you know the mind has fallen into bhavanga. But this state won't last very long. If you want that state to come back, you can incline your mind to fall into that state again. But it's not beneficial. Not beneficial for you. So don't do it. Okay? So, during excess concentration, because the five jhana factors are not stable, so once a while, the mind will fall into bhavanga state. Then you try again, call the mindfulness and concentrate on the breath or your nimitta again. Gradually, the five jhana factors will become stable. Then you move from excess concentration to jhana concentration. And you can sustain your mind there. For at least, in the beginning, you cannot stay very long. Maybe 1 hour. Then you emerge. Then after you try again, then you go in again. Then stay there longer until you can reach 3 hours. So what's this state? Jhana state. When you reach this state, you do not know your body. There's no bodily form. Some people also get frightened. No bodily form. So many people easily get frightened. So they open the eye, see the body still exists or not. During jhana state, the mind only stays with nimitta. Therefore, you cannot feel the body. It doesn't mean that the body has disappeared. How can the body disappear, right? But because the mind fully absorbed in the nimitta, mind only can take one object. If you think the mind can take many objects, this is called restlessness. Because your mind runs from one object to another object, this is called restlessness. The concentrated mind takes one object, nimitta. Therefore, you cannot hear the sound. Therefore, you cannot feel the body. Some people say that in the jhana, they still can hear the sound, which is not correct. Because they don't understand, sometimes they enter into jhana and they cannot sustain, the concentration cannot sustain long. Then they emerge for a split of second, then they hear the sound. And they quickly come back to the nimitta, then enter jhana again. So they think, they don't know the mind has emerged from the jhana, therefore hear the sound, then enter into jhana again. So they think, in the absorption, the mind the ear hears the sound, which is not possible. Okay. And if you enter into jhana, time passes very fast. 3 hours, like 1 hour only. And there's no pain, no sound. Therefore, Buddha said, this is called pleasant abiding here and there. Buddha said, why develop concentration? This is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to a pleasant abiding in the here and now. This is the first benefit. And this pleasant abiding here and now is very important also for those who practice vipassana, especially for arahant. Because what arahant perceive is only arising and passing away, arising and passing away, impermanence all the time. Whatever he perceives is just arising and passing away, arising and passing away. Sometimes the mind gets very disenchanted, gets tired to see constant arising and passing away. Therefore, they want to enter into jhana and to have pleasant abiding here and now. And if you are a vipassana meditator, I remember when I first practiced Mahasi Vipassana. Those who have practiced Mahasi Vipassana, you know the mind gets tired, because from the very moment you wake up until at night, the mind, there are so many objects to observe. And I spend 1 hour taking my shower, because I have already told you I'm a very obedient teacher, obedient student. What teacher asks me to do, then I follow 100%. So the teacher is mindful of every moment, stretching your hand mindfully, slowly, Then I do it slow, slow, slowly, slowly, stretching my hand, stretching my hand. It takes me so much energy. And I do not practice like you, 7 days. I practice 3 years, continuously. And I do not like you, sleep 7 hours. I sleep 4 hours. And I do not like you, sleep after lunch. I never sleep after lunch. And I do not like you, talking here and there. I never talk. And I do not like you, looking here and there. I never look here and there. This is how I practice. Therefore, today I can become your teacher. In fact, after 3 days, you shouldn't sleep that much. Once you have concentration, your mind becomes alert. You don't have to sleep so much. 6 hours enough. Okay. So if you get up early and you don't feel sleepy, come to meditation hall, meditate. I get up 3 something. And I remember when I was in Pa'au, because I used to get up at 2 o'clock. I sleep at 10 o'clock and get up at 2 o'clock continuously for 3 years. After 3 years, I was extremely exhausted. I have no more energy to go on. So, and I tell myself, how can I survive? I'm still so young, right? And the spiritual path so long, so how can I survive? Then suddenly a thought struck me. I want concentration. I need concentration. If not, I cannot survive anymore because I am fully exhausted. Therefore, I move from Mahasi, Vipassana, I move to Pa'au. Practice concentration to have pleasant abiding now and here and now. And when I went to Pa'au meditation center, the way they practice is very different from Mahasi tradition. Today I just share my story with you. I'm so used to Mahasi tradition. I practiced 6 years diligently. 6 years. 3 years in Malaysia, 3 years in Myanmar, Myanmar. Then, when I went to Pa'au forest meditation, I already used not to look here and there, because this is my practice. I only cast down my eyes and concentrate on my walking. But when I reached Pa'au meditation center, their practice so much different. They greet you, hello, hi. I just can't. I'm not used to this type of practice. If you practice Mahasi, you know. We didn't talk at all. We don't look at each other. Then we don't look up and down. We keep silent all the time. And in the Pa'au center, first time, they sit 1.5 hour every section. After 1.5 hour, we have 2 stories. After 1.5 hour, finished meditation, then those who stay above, male stay above, female stay below. They come down, prepare, without mindfulness at all. First when I stay in power, I just want to go back. I said, this is not the way I practice. And when they sit, they can go into jhana. After immersed jhana, you cannot see, there's no mindfulness. And gradually, and after sitting meditation, when I get up from hall to my sleeping place, so many people come and talk to me. I feel very irritated. The mind get annoyed. So I complain to the teacher. And the teacher makes announcement. No one should speak to Sister Susila. Make announcement to the whole monastery. At that time, I'm the first foreigner nun, so special one. And I practice so different from them, you know. So the teacher also respect my practice. So they announce to everyone, no one should speak to Sister Susila. And I do not know. Then suddenly I feel that, why did no one speak to me already? Okay, anyway, this is the joke, okay? So, I share with you my story just to inspire you. How I practice and how you practice. So if you want to achieve the benefit from your practice, you ask yourself, do you practice diligently, respectfully to the Dharma or not? And my teacher, when I was in Mahasi Center, not Mahasi Center, another center of Mahasi tradition, I practiced so hard, so diligently. And yet, one day, my teacher told me, asked me, he poked my heart. He told me that, do you practice without regard, body and life or not? I feel that I have tried my utmost, and yet my teacher told me like that. Do you practice without regard body and life or not? And I went back to my dormitory, cry until my eye become swollen. So please, if you appreciate, respect the Dharma, try hard. Okay, so when a person attains jhana, then when this concentration is developed and pursued, it leads to a pleasant abiding in the here and now. So a vipassana practitioner, if he only focuses on the vipassana practice, sometimes the mind gets very tired. You just want to rest in the jhana. Therefore, Buddha said, concentration practice leads to pleasant abiding here and now. Then after first jhana, you practice five mastery of jhana. After you master the first jhana, then you move on to second jhana. Here Buddha mentioned that with the fading away of rapture, he remains equanimous, mindful and alert, and sense pleasures. With the stealing of application of mind and sustained application of mind, he enters and remains in the second jhana. Rapture and pleasure, born of composure, unification of awareness, free from application of mind and sustained application of my internal experience. How to go to second jhana? Second jhana has only three jhana factors. Pity or joy, rapture, happiness and one-pointedness. So after emerge, if you are satisfied with first jhana, then after emerge from first jhana, you arouse the desire to remove application of the mind and sustain application of the mind, initial application of mind, vitakka, and sustain application of mind. Arouse the desire to remove these jhana factors and also reflect the fault of first jhana. First jhana is very close to five hindrances. When a mind is beset by one of the hindrances, then this person will fall down from the first jhana. So you reflect, first jhana still not stable because it's very close to five hindrances. Then you see the fault of first jhana. Then with the desire to remove the initial application of mind and sustain application of mind, then incline your mind to achieve second jhana. Then you stay with your breath, stay with the nimitta again. Then your mind will go into second jhana. And later on, if you satisfy with the second jhana, then you try the mastery of second jhana. Until you master the second jhana, only then you proceed to the third jhana. Without trying mastery of second jhana, if you try to proceed to third jhana, then you lose both. So you must master the second jhana first before you proceed to third jhana. Third jhana has only two jhana factors: happiness and one pointedness. And Buddha said, in the third jhana, you experience the happiness, the highest happiness than any sensual pleasure. In the third jhana, there's a lot of happiness. That happiness is higher than any sensual pleasures. Therefore, the monk, they can stay as a monk for a long time because they experience highest happiness, more than sensual pleasures. Okay, after third jhana, then he mastered the third jhana. After mastery of third jhana, he proceeded to fourth jhana. Fourth jhana, the breath stopped. The breath stopped, no more breath. And there are only two jhana factors, equanimity and one-pointedness. My teacher has interviewed so many students and asked them, among the fourth jhana, which one is the best? Most people say the fourth jhana is the best. Although third jhana, you experience the highest happiness, but that type of happiness is still little bit emotional, not like equanimity. In the fourth jhana, the mind is so equanimous and so peaceful, they feel that equanimity is better than happiness. So when a person achieves this first, second, third and fourth jhana, then he has a pleasant abiding in the here and now. And what if this concentration is developed, what profit does it bring? The mind is developed. If the mind is developed, what profit does it bring? All lust is abandoned. So when you are still with concentration, there's no sensual pleasures, no longing for the sensual pleasures. So all lust is abandoned. This is the profit. And we have another three profit. Tomorrow I will continue. Okay. So that's all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.